2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Amen. How many's got the Bible? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the Bible, the perfect, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that's eternally secured and settled in heaven. And I appreciate the Word of God. If you got your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1.
Amen.
And you get your place, say amen.
Amen.
We'll wait on the rest of you. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll wait. Say amen one way or the other day.
Amen.
All right. If you got your place, stand up with me. Let's read. If you can, it'll read just fine sitting down. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, we'll begin in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 3. The Bible said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your good to us, and for that we're grateful. I pray, God, you touch the preaching and the reading of your word, and I pray, God, you'd bless it and use the word of God to help us and to encourage our hearts and to help us to draw near to you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. God, help us as only you can. And we'll thank you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' precious holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach along the thought that if you look in verse number 3, the Bible talks about the God of all comfort. And if we've read down through here correctly, we're reading about the process of comfort. So that's what I want to preach about. I want to preach about the God of comfort and the process of comfort. If I could put these thoughts together, and I want you to look with me this morning. If we go down and look verses 5 through verse 11, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he talks about his sufferings. He talks about the tribulations and the troubles that he has gone through. He talks about the reality of his sufferings. And let me just say, suffering is a reality in life. Whether you're saved, whether you're lost, hey, listen, we all go through hard times. We all go through times of suffering and tribulation and trouble. And Paul the Apostle, the man of God that he was, that walked with God, sent by God, inspired by God to write much of the New Testament, he testifies here of the reality of sufferings and troubles and tribulations in his own life. Someone said, "Well, preacher, I'm saved," and I think someone told me that if I was saved, I'd never have any problems, I'd never have any trouble. I'm not sure what planet they were living on, because the Bible that I'm reading, Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation."
Right.
And the Bible tells us in Timothy, he said, "Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so there's a reality of persecutions and tribulations and troubles. And then there's the severity of them. If you notice with me, verse number 8, Paul said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant." He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant." He said, "Let me inform you of some things." He said, "Of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." Man, we were pressed out of measure, above strength. He said, "We couldn't handle it on our own." He said, "Insomuch that we despaired even of life." He said, "Man, we were about to die." To the point in verse number 9, he said, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." In other words, Paul said it got so bad at one point, it would have been like the doctor coming in and saying, "Hey, sir, there's no hope. You're going to die." That's what he said. He said, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." He said, "It was to the point that we realized that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Thank God that we can trust God this morning. But Paul said the reality, the severity of his troubles, they were real. And he said just as sure as the reality and the severity of his troubles were real, there was deliverance from his troubles. And thank God for that. He went on in verse number 10. He talked about God who delivered us, past tense. He said who delivered us from so great a death. Can I say thank God when God saved you, if you're a born again child of God this morning. The Bible said we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But God in his grace, but God quickened us. And thank God that he did that, and that's what he's referring to. He said he delivered us from so great a death, but he didn't stop in the past. He said, and doth, that's presently, and doth deliver us. Thank God. I'm thankful that God delivered me in the past. But hey, listen, as I look in the past to see where God, hey, listen, both spiritually and physically, how God has delivered me in the past. But listen, I just want to say thank God that he's delivering me today. Amen. I thank God for the power of God that he didn't just help me yesterday, but that he's helping me today. Strength for today is mine always, and all that I need for tomorrow. Thank God he delivered me yesterday. But hallelujah. Hey, honey, hey, if you're a child of God, you ought to realize and recognize that God is doing something for you today. Amen. Thank God he delivered me yesterday, but thank God he's presently delivering me today. Thank God. But then he didn't stop there. And he said, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul said, man, I'm glad he delivered me in the past. I'm glad he's delivering me. He said, but because of what he's done in the past and because of what he's doing for me today, he said, I've got confidence. I've got assurance. Listen, he said, I am settled in the fact that, hey, listen, whatever faces me tomorrow, he will yet deliver me. Thank God that he will yet deliver us in the future. Amen. Past, present, and future. Can I say God delivers again? Thank God. And that's what Paul taught. The severity of troubles, the reality of troubles, but the great deliverance from troubles. Thank God for the God of comfort. When we think about this passage that we've read in this context of this chapter, in this even this whole entire letter that Paul writes, the words tribulation and trouble were going to rise up many times right here in this passage and on throughout Paul writing here. And much of the theme of Corinthians, part of the theme is the right to encourage and to comfort and to help console God's people. And he's speaking that we need comfort, we need consolation because of troubles, because of tribulation that we face. If you look down in verse number 4, he said, who comforteth in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That word tribulation and the word trouble, they come from the same Greek word, and they come from a word that means to squeeze together or to press together or to apply pressure and to press down or to press together. It comes from the Latin word. The Latin word, it means to thresh. And some of you farmers, some of you old timers know what a threshing floor is. You know what a threshing place is. And when the farmers, they didn't have this big sophisticated high, all this equipment in the old days, they had a threshing equipment. Well, before they had all the fancy stuff, what the farmers in the old time days would do is they would take sticks, some type of a stick, and they would take their grain and lay it out, and they would beat the grain and beat it to separate it from the wheat from the chaff. They wanted to separate and get the wheat out of the grain from the chaff that wasn't going to be no good. And in order to do so, they would beat it with a stick, or sometimes they didn't have a stick, they didn't have a place, they would put it on the threshing floor and they would trample it or walk on it, sometimes even put a stone on it, grind it. And they would do this, they would put the wheat or the grain under pressure so that they could separate the wheat from the chaff. It's a place of pressure. It's a place of separation. It is not, listen, when we would compare this life, this word in the light of our life that we live, it's not really fun that we're talking about. It's not necessarily always everything's going great. Listen, sometimes life brings pressure. Sometimes God allows things into our life and it's sort of like we're getting beat with sticks. Sometimes it's like somebody's trampling us. And listen, what he's doing is he's separating the wheat from the chaff. He's taking the bad out and he's, listen, straining it and getting the good in. It's the word that means to press, or it comes from the word that means to press hard upon, or to compress, or to put in a narrow place, or to contract. We get words like distress or oppression, affliction, strait. In this passage, the word suffering is used. The word affliction is used. And so we see here that many times, even in the life, I hate to tell you this, but even in the life of the child of God who's trying to please God, you're going to face times of affliction. You're going to face moments of suffering. You're going to face times of trouble and moments of distress and oppression. And can I say to you, doesn't matter how good the Christian life you live, doesn't matter how close you walk to God. Matter of fact, some of the greatest Christians that I've ever known and that I've ever witnessed their life, hey, some of the greatest Christians I've ever known have went through some of the hottest fires and some of the greatest storms and went through and endured some of the hardest trials that you can understand. It wasn't because they were backslidden. It's because God could trust them. And he said, listen, I'm trying to get the rough edges off. I'm trying to, listen, separate the wheat from the chaff. I'm trying to get it down to where it's something for my glory. I'm trying to get you to be a vessel of honor, a trophy of my grace. And sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes we face tribulation. Sometimes we face trouble. Can I say this as we read this passage in the midst of Paul's trouble, in the midst of the tribulation, he called it, and the trouble and the suffering and the times of distress when he was pressed out of measure and above his strength. And even when the doctor said, hey, Paul, you're about to die. Some would relate this to the time that he was stoned. Some would relate this to the time that the great company of people was going to come upon him and kill him. Or some would say that he was going through a sickness and he was about to die. Whatever the case may be, Paul realized that his life was weighing in the balance. He realized that physically he was about to die. He said there in verse 9, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Listen, I understand there's probably people here today that's going through hard times. You're going through, some suffering. You're going through some trouble, some tribulation, maybe even some persecution, maybe some oppression. Listen, you're not alone. The Apostle Paul's been there. And he said, we had the sentence of death. He said, it got to the point, listen to me, how many... We've had some bad days, all right. I might have had a flat tire once in a while. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's few and far between of us that's heard the sentence of death put on our life. And Paul said we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves. Many times that's our problem. We trust her. As long as we're living and breathing, we say, oh, I got this. We're tough. We say, oh, I got this. And really, and listen, sometimes God may allow us to get to the point that we have a sentence of death until we realize that we can't trust ourselves. We must trust God in heaven. And Paul said, that's where I was. But listen, in the midst of these times, in the midst of his tribulation, look, go back in verse number 3, and you'll find out that Paul was praising God. Paul was praising, look verse 3. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That word blessed be God, that blessed, it has the idea of to praise God, to bless God. Somebody said, bless God, bless the Lord. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all this, it's lifting him up, it's praising his name, it's exalting him. Hey, being grateful for all of God's goodness. And that's the idea, that's the attitude that Paul the Apostle had here. As we look in this passage, I would look at number one and I would see that in times of trouble, we ought to note some things. Number one, in times of troubles, in times of tribulations, we can note the personality and the presence of God. The personality and the presence of God. Notice this in verse number 3. He said, blessed be God. And then we just say when he's praising God, let me just make this real clear. He wasn't sitting on a platform getting honored. He wasn't getting an award. He wasn't getting a trophy. He wasn't getting some type of ribbon or something for being the most faithful or being the great. No, he was in distress. He was to the point, the sentence of death. Are you listening to me? And in the midst of this, in his hardest time, hey, he's saying, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Hey, that reminds me of the psalmist, Psalm 34. He said, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Many times we make much of the Lord in the good times. When we get a raise, we say, praise the Lord, I got a raise. When we get a new car, say, praise the Lord, he gave me a new car. When we get a new house, praise the Lord. When we get a new dad, say, praise the Lord, we got this, we got that. God's been good to me. Hey, friend, when's the last time you sat down like Job in the midst of the ashes and you said, hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, friend. Hey, I'm telling you, even in the hard times, God's good. I'm telling you, friend, even in the storms, God's still God. I'm telling you that even when the sentence of death comes down your way, God's still God. I'm telling you, blessed be God. May our lips be filled with praise. May our tongue be one of adoration. May be one of gratefulness. May be one to say, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, praise God anyway.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. watch it. He blessed. I can't get past verse 3. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Can I just say he's worthy? He's worthy in the good times and he's worthy in the bad times. He's worthy on the mountaintop. He's worthy in the valley low. He's worthy when the money's rolling. And he's worthy when the money's running. Amen. I'm telling you, he's worthy. He's worthy when I'm healthy. He's worthy when I'm wealthy. And he's worthy when I'm poor and I'm sick. Amen. He's worthy in the good days. He's worthy in the bad days. He's worthy when my friends like me. He's worthy when everybody rejects me. He's worthy when my friends are with me. He's worthy when they desert me. He's worthy when my family's all like up with me. He's worthy when my family runs off and leaves. I'm telling you, he's worthy to be praised. Blessed be God.
Amen.
Even in the midst of the hard times, even in the midst of the trials, even in the midst of the heartaches, blessed be God.
Amen.
Bless the Lord at all times. All times, he said. Who is this God? See something about not only his presence, but his personality. Who is this God? Well, he begins to describe. He said, blessed be God. Can I say that's enough right there? He's God. And let me say this, he's not a God, he's God.
Right.
Are you listening to me? He's God alone. Amen. I just thought I'd let you know Allah's not God.
Amen.
I thought I'd let you know, are you listening to me? Hey, Buddha's not God. Hey, Jesus Christ is God. Amen. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. There's only one God.
Right.
Amen. There's one, and blessed be that God. Blessed be God. There's nobody, Isaiah said over in Isaiah, he said, there ain't nobody like him, amen. There's none like him.
Right.
He's in a class all by himself. Hey, blessed be God. Amen. We said, what about number one? He says, blessed be God. And he said, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father. He speaks of the relationship between the Father and the Son. It's a unique relationship. Listen, it's not to say that the Son ever needed a birth. You realize that the Son was the eternal Son before the birth and the incarnation ever took place. Somebody said, let me just say this, and I'm not trying to be mean or hateful, but there's a lot of these new perversions of the Bible's coming out. And in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Well, there's a bad problem there. Because Jesus is not his one and only Son. According to 1 John number 3, chapter 3, we are the sons of God. Hey, when you got born again by the new birth gave you a new nature and you have been born into the family. You, as a child of God, are his children, his son. So now are we the sons of God, amen? Are y'all with me? But there is a unique relationship in Jesus being the only begotten son of God. It means that he's begotten of the loins. I'm talking about he proceeds out of the Father. Hey, listen, he's not just born by the Father, but he is the Father.
Amen.
It's a unique relationship here. And he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he talks about this, how he's the begotten of the Father, he's the eternal Son. But listen, this relationship shows us how much God loves us. Because God birthed us into the family by the new birth, but Jesus is the only one that proceeded out of him. Are you listening to me? And listen, the only begotten is the one that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the only begotten Son is the one that he sent to Calvary. And the only begotten is the one that he laid down his life and died. The only begotten is the one that he laid down when he said, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's the only begotten. I'm telling you, when he put the only begotten Son, hey, listen, on the cross of Calvary, he was showing you that he loved you. He was showing you that he cared for you. He's showing you, listen, friend, hey, that he wants to redeem your lost soul. Showing you how much he cares for you. Through the unique relationship, the Father and the Son. Hey, listen, he's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It proves his love, but then it says he's the Father of mercies. This word Father has the idea not just that he's the daddy of, but that he's the originator of. That all mercy originates. All mercy has its source found in. There is no mercy apart from God Almighty. The word mercy has the idea of pity or compassion. It speaks to have pity on one, even in times, sometimes not just being like cuddly and nice, but sometimes in correction and protection. Sometimes those are God's mercies as well. Heard a story one time about an old farmer. I think I read it. I believe Harry Ironside. I believe is where I read this story. He was talking about he had a friend that had some. They was on a bus going through an Austrian town or somewhere, and said.
the bus kept going back and forth across the road. And what was happening was there was a flock of sheep, a herd of sheep that was going by them and around them. And he said there was two dogs that was running them sheep back out of their way on this side to this side. And so the kind of held them up a little bit. And somebody was grumbling and complaining and said, "Man, I don't know what's going on." He said, "Oh," he said, "that's the two dogs." He said, "Do you know?" Somebody asked him, said, "Do you know those two dogs' names?" He said, "That's goodness and mercy." He said, "Goodness and mercy." He said, "You don't know that." He said, "No." He said, "But hey, listen." He said, "God said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Hey, you don't realize sometimes God's goodness and his mercy comes along, and he doesn't just, he's not always just giving you things, but sometimes God's goodness and mercy, he's leaving things in your, you know, do you understand? Let me just help you out here, sir. Sometimes it's God's mercies that you had a flat tire to keep you out of the wreck down the road. Are you listening to me? Sometimes it's God's mercy that you had, something happened and you had to go to the doctor and they found something that was coming long down the road. Hey, they found it quicker, amen, because something else happened. I'm just telling you, sometimes it's God's mercy. You need to realize his goodness and his mercy is going to follow us, amen. And listen, he's the Father of mercy. He's the Father of mercy. Thank God. He's the Father of mercy, the originator of mercy. Listen, and then watch this. I like this. And it says, "And the God of all comfort." Now listen, he didn't just say he's the God of a little bit of comfort. But it said, not he's the God of some comfort, but he's the God of all. There's two things, Brother Mitchell, there's two things in the Word of God God's got the monopoly on. One of them is grace. He's the God of all grace. We read that in other scripture. He's the God of all grace. But here in this passage, he's the God of all comfort. Comfort has the idea of one coming along and comforting us, consoling us, aiding us, helping us, being good to us. And the Bible says that he is the God of all comfort. Can I just simply say you'll never find any comfort? Let me just say it like this. Your southern comfort ain't coming in no bottle. Are you listening to me? The only place you're going to find real comfort is in the personality of God himself. He's the God of all comfort. When I think about the God of all comfort, I think about that God, the God that we serve, the God of heaven. He's a triune God. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Spirit. And here in this passage, specifically, he's telling us that the Father, he's the God of all comfort. And then I think about the Lord Jesus. In 1 John chapter number 2, the Bible said, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate is the very same word for a comforter. Hey, it's the very same word. He's an advocate. He's our comforter. So we see that the Father is a comforter. We see that the Son, he's our advocate. He's our comforter. But in John chapter number 14, verse 16 through 26, and on down through there, hey, Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. He said, when I leave, he said, I'm going to pray my Father. And he said, he's going to send you another comforter. No, Jesus said, he's going to send you another one just like me. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus said, when I go away, he said, when I go, I'm not leaving you alone. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost inside of you is a child of God. You've got a comforter in it. Hey, the comforter has come, amen. He's living within you. I'm talking about you've got the Father who's a comforter. You've got the Son who comes along and comforts you. And you've got the Holy Spirit, and he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's the comforter. He's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. He's got a monopoly on it. Thank God. I'm simply saying this word comfort, when we think about the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings, the hardships, the stresses, the being pressed out of measure, all these things, we need some comfort. Amen? We need some. There's times you may be sitting here today and things are going great. You may be sitting here and nothing's going wrong. But friend, can I tell you, friend, hold on, because it's just around the corner that somebody could pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, we need you to come back down to the doctor's office. It could be, hey, the next phone call that you get that says, hey, mom's in the hospital, or so-and-so was in a tragic wreck, or so-and-so, hey, whatever it may be. Are you listening to me? In this world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Hey, that's the God of all comfort. Thank God. Hey, listen, for the personality of God in times of trouble. Let me say this. Not only for the personality of God, the God of all comfort. I could preach right there all day about the God of all comfort. I thank God that my Father is a Father who comforts me. I'm thanking for the Son who gave himself. He come to be my advocate and he comforts me. Hey, and then I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who comes and he's indwelled in me and he comes with me all everywhere I go and he comforts me. But then I want to notice this. I want you to notice number two, in times of trouble, we can recognize the provisions of God in trouble. The provisions of God. Look at verse number four. Not only is God, and can I say, he is the God of all comfort. That is who he is. He's the God of all comfort. But in verse number four, not only do we see who he is, but we see what he does.
Verse number 4, he said, who comforted us. I like that. Who comforted us.
Y'all might not get no help out of that, but I got some help.
He comforted us. The word comfort here, to comfort is, the word comfort has the idea who he's called along one side, he calls for someone, to summons for you, to admonish you, to exhort you, comfort you, instruct you, console you, encourage you, strengthen you by consolation, or to comfort you. That's the word comfort. You realize most of us, you know, you may call me a mama's boy, I don't know, but when I was a kid, when I fell down and scraped my knee, there's a lot of people could say, oh, you'll be all right, but it wasn't nobody like mom. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Wasn't nobody like mama could come over, and it just seemed like when mama come by, and you had that skinned up elbow, and she began to rub it, and maybe she kissed on that thing a little bit, and brother, it wasn't nothing like mama when she touched it.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Daddy can look at it, daddy say, oh, you tough it out, boy, you'll be all right. Put some dirt in it.
Amen.
But mama's touch. You say, preacher, why are you going this way? Because when the Bible speaks of God, the God of our comfort, I'm going to show you something here in a minute. But it's very much like mama's comfort. He kind of uses that. Let me just say this. In Isaiah chapter number 40, you don't have to go there, but in Isaiah chapter number 40, in verse number 1 and 2, he says, comfort ye, comfort ye. And he's showing there's comfort for those who need forgiveness of sins. And listen, if you're lost this morning, God realizes that you're lost. He realizes that you're dead in your sins and trespass. He realizes that you need comfort. We're not talking about a physical comfort. He's talking about a spirit. He realizes you need the comfort, the forgiveness of sins. But then, not only that, to you and all, to you and I, each one of us, in Isaiah chapter number 61, he says he comforts those who are mourning. In Isaiah 61, verse 2. Many times, even the child of God, there's times of mourning when we lose a loved one, when we lose a friend, when we face sickness or separation, when we face sad times. Listen, and let me just say, we're in this world, we're going to face times of separation and sickness and sad times. Are you with me? We're going to face times of distress and despair. We're going to face times of desertion. Are you listening? And even in those times, listen, he's the God who comforts. And Isaiah 61, 2 said he's the God who can comfort the mourning. And I just want to say thank God that he comforts us in mourning, because there is a time of mourning in our life. Hey, there's a time when mama goes to glory, when daddy goes away. Hey, there's a time when loved ones leave us, and there's a time of mourning, and we need a God who's able to come around, and he's able to put his arm around us, and he's able to comfort us. He's able to wrap us in those, hey, listen, everlasting wings, amen. And he's able to shadow us in his goodness and his mercy, and he's able to comfort us.
Amen.
Y'all excuse me while I have a little church. Hey, listen, I'm simply saying, hey, I thank God, hey, for the God who's able to comfort the mourning. And then Isaiah 66:13, he said this, he's able to, watch this, he's able to breathe a sigh. I'm going to go to Isaiah 66 because I want you to see what I'm talking about. And this is kind of important. So if you got a Bible, you might want to look over in Isaiah chapter number 66. In Isaiah 66 verse 13, he's speaking of God, and he said, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you should be comforted in Jerusalem. And God's telling his people, he said, I'm going to comfort you like one who's comforted by the mama. Hey, listen, like when mama, listen, I read a story about a man who was a preacher, and he his kids was fussing one day. He was trying to study, and he told his wife, you have to get them quiet. And they was doing all right, and then, but they get, like most kids, get rowdy and rowdy and rowdy and rowdy. And so she gave them a bowl of nuts, told them to crack the nuts. And they got to cracking the nuts and realized they didn't have but one nut cracked. So then one of the kids realized that they could put the nut in the door jamb. Anybody ever had that fun experience? Amen. And you could put the nut in the door jamb and shut the door and crack the nut. And they was doing that. And then all of a sudden, going too fast, smashed her finger in the door. Started crying and fussing and whining. And daddy said, go on down there and get mama. Or whatever he said. Run, you know how daddy acts. And then mama come and got the baby, the kid, and took the kid off. And you know, let me just, it's going to be all right. You're hurt so, but it's going to, and she's, the little kid looked up and said, mama, it really ain't that hurt that bad. And said, well, what's the problem? Said, it's really not that I'm hurt that bad physically. The worst part is that daddy didn't even say anything. You know, realize that sometimes that's the way men are. Just put a little dirt in it, you know, you'll be all right. Rub it around, squeeze it, you'll be all right. But hey, it's something about mama. She can just sigh.
Amen.
With you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Mama just say, oh, y'all call me emotional or whatever you want, but I'm just saying, there's some healing in mama's voice.
Amen.
And she can speak, It was just like, it's almost like she's saying, honey, I feel like you feel. She's like, can I say, she's like, honey, it's going to be all right. Can I say, that's the way God compares, and that's the way he describes the way he's going to comfort his people. He said, I'm going to comfort you the way that mom would comfort her son and her daughter, the way she would comfort her child. And God said, that's the way I'm going to comfort you. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul said, he comforts all those who are cast down. You ever been cast down? You ever been felt like you was out, down and out, destroyed? Hey, there's comfort for you. The word comfort in Isaiah has the idea that he's going to breathe on you. He's going to sigh. He'll care about you like mama did. Hey, listen, in all, look at this. Look at verse number 4. He comforted us in all. Somebody ought to underline that word all. In all our tribulation. You say, preacher, it's hard, but he comforteth in all. Are y'all with me? Everybody know what all means? All means all, and that's all means. He don't mean he comforts us in the little ones. He don't just comfort us in the big ones. He don't just comfort us in the ones that we tell everybody about. But he's able to comfort us, and he comforts us in all our tribulation. Are y'all looking at the Bible? Amen. He comforts us in all our tribulation. I'm telling you, friend, he comforts us in all of. And can I say, in times of tribulation, in times of trouble, he is our source of comfort. In times of trouble, he is our strength of comfort. I'm telling you, the Bible said he's a very present help in trouble. Amen. He is our surety of comfort because he's the God of all comfort. He's the God who never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Hey, friend, if he delivered me yesterday and he's delivering me today, I can have confidence, faith, trust, assurance that he's sure enough going to deliver me tomorrow. Thank God for the comfort that we find in the God of all comfort who comforted us. The early church, the apostles, the martyrs of the early church time, man, some of them beat, some of them ridiculed, thrown in prison, boiled in oil, sawn asunder, beheaded, crucified. I'm just telling y'all what has happened in church history, all right? I know most of us don't realize this. We don't recognize that. But when the church began, this is kind of how it happened. They didn't have a praise and worship band. Everybody was clapping and hollering. Ooh. Are you listening? The early church suffered persecution. They were thrown in prison. It may happen again. Let me accept it. It may happen again. It may be closer than you think. It may be closer than you think, but I just wonder, hey, listen, if they come in them doors today with machine guns and handcuffs and throw us all in jail, hey, unless you deny the name of Christ and they want to persecute us and behead us, I want you to know that in the midst of all the troubles, in the midst of whatever they're going to throw your way, he's the God who will comfort you.
Amen.
And he doth comfort us. Thank God he's the God who comforts us. Hey, let me say, hey, it may be you today. It may not be machine guns. It may not be a guillotine to chop your head off. It may not be a Muslim sawing on your neck. Listen, it may be sickness. It may be disease. It may be death. It may be pain. Are you listening? It may be a time of bereavement over a loved one. It may be a heartbroken situation over a lost loved one. It may be one's passed away. Maybe financial loss. Are you listening to me? You're going to go through some times of trouble and some times of tribulation. But in the midst of it all, don't matter how, whether it's financial, and many times if we ain't careful in our society, we get caught up on the financial and everything else is all. As long as we got money, we all right, preacher. Now, let me just say, there's some things that's more important than money. Well, it may be money. It may be financial. You may lose your job. Maybe physical. You may lose your health. Your child may lose their health. Husband, wife. Are you listening? It may be spiritual battles and suffering spiritually. Maybe one you love. Maybe a child. Maybe a mate. Persecute you because of your stand for Christ. Are you listening? We all face times of trials. But just like he was with Apostle Paul, just like he was with John on the Isle of Patmos, just like he was with, listen, his apostles in the first century, just like he was with the church martyrs all throughout church history, he'll be with you. He's the source. Let me say this. He's the source of comfort. He is the God of all comfort. I'm just telling you, that's a powerful statement. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your tribulation is, whatever your affliction you're facing, hey, listen, whatever suffering you're enduring, hey, listen, God is your comfort. In Him you'll find encouragement. In Him you'll find help. In Him you'll find the aid you need. In Him you'll find, hey, listen, the succoring you need. In Him you'll find consolation. In Him you'll find love. In Him you'll find peace. Don't get excited. I'm just telling you about God. I'm telling you about the God who'll comfort you. I'm telling you, sometimes He'll comfort you with the Son, who's able to succor you, according to Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 18. He's able to come along and aid you and encourage you. Hey, listen, sometimes Romans 14, 4 and 5, or 5, 15, 4 and 5 said He's able to comfort you with the comfort of the Scriptures, which are able to give you hope. Sometimes He'll encourage you with the saints and the supplications of the saints. Hey, listen, praying for you right here in verse 11 of this chapter. Sometimes He's able to encourage you and comfort you in different ways. But I'm telling you, whatever the suffering you're in, whatever you're going through, no matter how big the storm, no matter how hard the wind, no matter how hot the fire, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven, and He's the God of all comfort. And when we're in trouble, when we're hurting, when we're having heartache, when I'm in pain, when I'm crying my eyes out, when I'm going through times of hurt and anguish, when I'm on my knees, when I'm at the time of despair, when I think I've got the sentence of death in my life, there's a God in heaven who's able to come alongside of me, and He's able to come alongside of me, and He's able to pick me up, and He's able to encourage me, and He's able to carry me through the hard times of life. He's able to wipe my tears. He's able to put His arms around me and hug on me. He's able to strengthen me and to build me up and to encourage me and to help me. And I don't care how high the waves get, how hot the fires get, God is the God of comfort, and He'll comfort you.
Amen.
He's the God of all comfort. He comforteth us. That's what He does. But let me say this. Not only do I see the personality of God in times of trouble, and not only do I see the provisions of God in times of trouble, but I see the purpose of God in times of trouble. Bear with me. I got to preach this. These troubles that you're facing, whether it's disease, death, despair, desertion, whatever it may be, none of them are an accident. Not a one of them is by chance. Oh, I just had some bad luck in my hind leg. Are you listening to me? Are you listening?
Yeah.
Everything, and I mean everything. Every circumstance, if you want to call it a circumstance, every situation you face in life, every trouble that comes your way, every storm you're in the middle of, everything, God allows it, and He assigns it for a divine purpose. I'm telling you, there's a divine purpose behind every affliction you face. There's a divine purpose behind every persecution you undergo. There's a divine purpose behind every sickness you endure. Hey, there's a divine purpose behind everything you go through as a child of God. Can I say, don't miss the purpose. Don't miss the purpose. There's lots of people that says, well, God's in control, and I'm just going to trust God. But then they go around and complain about it. No, hold on. Listen. If God's in control, and you're going to trust God, trust His purpose. Are you listening? Don't trust God and complain about what He's putting you through. Embrace it. Engage it. Find out why God's letting you go through this. Find out why. Do you understand? Let me make it real clear. Everything you face, that God either directly caused it, or He indirectly allowed it. He either allows it or He assigns it into your life for a purpose. I want you to understand that. That's not fatalism. That's realism. That's the truth. You need to understand God's the God of order. He's the God of purpose. And everything that He allows in your life is for a purpose. You say, preacher, what in the world kind of purpose could be behind me having cancer? What in the world could be behind me having a loved one die early in an accident? What in the world? Number one, can I just say this? Number one, God, when He allows us to go through troubles and times, number one is so that God be glorified. Everything that your Christian life's all about, it ought to be to glorify God. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 17, Paul said, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him,
that we may be also glorified together.
Paul said it over here in 2 Corinthians 1. He said, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Paul said, these sufferings that I'm undergoing, it's just not mine. But Paul realized, hey, listen, these sufferings were the sufferings of Christ in his body. Are you listening to me? And Paul realized that when he was going through times of trouble and anguish and all these different things, that it was a divine order, that God wants to be glorified in my life. So surrender myself to the plan and the purpose of God and say, God, whatever it is, you know best. And you know, listen, you know, God, what you need. You know what you need me to go through. You know what I need to do. You know best, God. Be glorified in my life. God wants to be glorified in your life. And let me say this. God wants you to testify of his goodness to others. Look in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 8, that's exactly what Paul's doing. He's testifying, he's rehearsing, he's giving the account of what happened. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were oppressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we were despair. Sounds like a Baptist giving a testimony for a minute. How bad it was. Well, preacher, I got up and my toe was hurting and my... But hold on, he gets to the good part down there in verse number 10. He said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust. Let me just say something about testimony. Testimony ain't time to get up and preach. Testimony ain't get up time to cry. Testimony is time to get up and brag on Jesus. Amen. Hey, let me just say simply, most time if a testimony goes over 2 minutes, it's probably not a testimony. It's probably bragging on the devil. Don't get up and tell me how bad everything's been. Tell me how good God's been. Hey, Paul briefly said, hey, listen, I went through some troubles, but hey, let me just tell you why I'm telling you that, because I want you to know it was God who delivered us, and it's God who does deliver, and it's God whom we trust that he will deliver us.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Testify. Hey, listen, if you don't go through the fire, you can't tell nobody what it's like to go through. If you never get delivered, you can't tell nobody about the deliverer.
Amen.
God's been good in my life. And that's all I can tell you about the goodness. Listen, sometimes God allows you to go through a fire once in a while so you can tell everybody about the God in the fire. Sometimes God allows you to go through situations in life so that on the other side you can say, he never leave me, he never forsake me. He's my best friend. He's the dearest friend I ever had.
Hey,
let me tell you about what God's done for me.
Hey.
Let me tell you about how I was in the hospital. Let me tell you about how I was about to die. Let me tell you what the doctor said. There wasn't no hope. I had a lady this week. The doctor told her last year she'd never see again. Had a stroke, some kind of mini stroke. Says you're eight. That's four, two times. Eight doctors told her your vision never be corrected. Went to the doctor this week. She got 20/20 vision. She wasn't bragging on her doctor. The doctors gave up. The only thing she could say is, God's been good.
Amen.
Hey, God's been good. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Hey, to glorify God, to testify of his goodness. Let me say this.
Amen.
Sometimes God allows us to go through things and to face storms and trials so that we can minister to others. So that we, you, me, you can minister to others. Look back at verse number 4. Look back number 4 of our text. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation. That concerns us. That we may be able to comfort them. Everybody say them.
Them.
That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Not just the trouble we went through, but in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is pretty good stuff if you'll get a hold of this. God said, part of my purpose in letting you go on through this trial, this tribulation, this trouble, this suffering, is so that after I bring you through it and after I help you, you can turn around and help somebody else. That ye, look at verse 4, that ye, that's you, you all, us rednecks, we say y'all. That y'all, that ye may be able. The word be able, it means he's preparing you, he's empowering you, he's strengthening you, enabling you. He's giving you the ability. Read a story of George Truett, used to be a pastor in Texas. George Truett, man of God, Baptist preacher years ago. And he said that in his ministry there was a young couple came and they hadn't been saved, they hadn't been converted, but they had lost a baby. And they wanted him to do the funeral for the small baby. And he said he tried the best to minister to them, and
And, you know, he said, God bless and help them. And shortly after that funeral, the mother and the dad, they both came to trust Jesus Christ to be saved. And they were in the church. And then he said some time, many months went by, he said, and some time had passed, and another young lady came, and she had lost a child. And he said, I tried to minister to her. I tried to encourage her with the Word of God. I tried to help her, he said, but it just seemed like I wasn't getting very far. He said, and then that the first lady that had lost her baby stepped up and put her arm around the other one, the new one, and said, she put her arm and she said, let me tell you, I've been where you've been. She said, I know exactly what you're going through. She said, I know the heart. I know how bad. And let me tell you, she said, God brought me through it. Let me tell you how God can bring you through it. And Mr. Truett, the great preacher that he was, he said, that lady went to that other lady. He said, she did more for that lady than I could have done in 100 years. He said, you know why? Because she'd been there. She'd suffered. She'd been through the same trouble. She'd been through that heartache. Can I say to you and I, hey, there's people that have gone through things that can help us, and we go through things and we can help others. A few weeks ago, I was up at Charlottesville, Virginia, University of Virginia. My mom has cancer, and she was up there, and she had gone through the surgery and had basically the whole side of her face cut out here, and they'd done a graft, and she's discouraged, and she's, you know, just kind of down and out. We was trying to encourage her, and I was sitting there talking to her about the goodness of God, telling her how God could help her and this and that. And it was all right, and just, I mean, to be honest with you, it was going all right, but there was a lady walked in. And there's a lady walked in, and she walked in, and my mom knew her, and I knew her, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. But she came in the hospital. She said, I was in here visiting somebody, and she said, I heard you was over here. And she said, Susie, I wanted to come talk to you. And come to find out, this lady, about 5-6 years ago, she'd gone through cancer herself. She went through the chemo. She went through the radiation. She went through it all. And she got to talking to my mom, and she found out my mom was discouraged because they was telling her she's going to go through radiation and this and that. I ain't never been through radiation. Are you listening to me? And by the grace of God, I hope I never do. But I ain't never been there. I can tell mom, hey, God's never going to leave. He's going to be, hey, I can tell you. And it's true. It's in the Bible. It's there. But it's just something about that person firsthand. And she comes in there and she says, let me tell you something, Susie. She said, with a smile on her face, she said, I was scared to death when I went in. She said, I didn't know what to expect. She said, people told me horror stories. But she said, let me tell you. She said, I went in there and she said, I just made up my mind that if I was going to go through this thing, God was going to be with me and God was going to use it for His glory. And she said, let me just tell you, it wasn't near as bad as they said it was going to be. She spent maybe an hour in there talking to my mom. And when she left, I said, well, I can go home now. I'm just being honest with you. I was just thinking, hey, mom had a smile on her face. Spirits was lifted up. You know why? Because somebody that had already been comforted was able to comfort her. Somebody that God had already brought them through the fire, they was able to say, hey, this is what God did for me. Let me tell you how He can do it. And the Bible said He comforted us so that we may be able to comfort others. I'm telling you, there's purpose in what you're going through today. I'm telling you, there's purpose. I can simply say, I hate to get real personal all the time, but when I was a child, 4 years old, my dad was killed in a tragic accident. I didn't understand it then. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand all about it now. But I can tell you one thing. They said, boys that ride these vans to church, and like, I'm thinking I don't see him this morning, but little Kiko comes in here, and his daddy died just right after I took this church. And I tell you one thing, there's something inside of me that connects with him, and I'm able to talk to him, and I'm able to comfort him. I was able to minister to him in a way that I'd never been able to do had I not been through that experience. I'm telling you, whatever, listen, don't think, oh, I'm going through this, I can't wait. Listen, embrace it, engage it. You don't have to be glad you're sick. Hey, but if you are sick, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through, hey, listen, where you're facing death, if you're going through whatever it is you're going through, the trouble, the anger, hey, learn the lesson that God has for you in the suffering school. There's a school of suffering. It's a school, hey, listen, we can embrace. Don't miss the purpose. God wants to use you. Listen, any trouble, by the same comfort that you've already received. God is able to use you. Can I say this? When God is comforting you, He is preparing you to comfort others. And if you're going through it, someone else will go through it. And if someone has gone through it, you very well may go through it. Don't miss the purpose. You're here this morning, you're going through hard times. Maybe you're not even saved. There's a Jesus that says, come to me, amen, all you labor and heavy laden.
I can tell about personal experience. I can tell you about the Apostle Paul and how his suffering and that he endured helped us. He told us over later on in the book of 2 Corinthians, he talked about how he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed. He said, I sought the Lord. And he said, I cried out and prayed three times and asked him to remove that thorn in the flesh. He said, but God said, I'm not going to remove it. He said, but my grace will be sufficient. Can I say that encourages me sometimes when I have things in my life I don't want and I say, God, take it away. And sometimes I have to say, well, he didn't remove it from Paul, but he gave him grace and he'll do the same thing for me. And then I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus who the writer of Hebrews chapter number 4 verse 15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmities of our feelings, but in all points was tempted. He said in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, there's a God in heaven. There's a great high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father. And listen, there's a Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's sitting there, and he's been tempted in all points. Listen, he suffered just like you and I have. I'm telling you, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he went through it all. And he's able now to succor you. He's able to come along and help you. He's able to say to you, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's a God in heaven. He's the God of comfort. There's a process that he puts us through. Listen, today you may be going through trials. You may be going through tribulation. You may be going through hard time. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you just come through it. Maybe you're going through it. Maybe you may go through it tomorrow. But God has a purpose. God has a plan. Don't miss the purpose that God has for your troubles. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. Minister to hearts as only you can do. If there be someone here lost that needs to be saved, God help them to realize you offer comfort. There's a balm in Gilead. God, I pray you work in their heart. And then I pray for Christians that may be here going through hard times. Maybe they're going through times of trouble and tribulation, affliction, suffering. God, encourage them today and help them. Oh, God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed.